Now, the last question out of what I decided to ask Your Honor tonight is I met one Ahmadi. He was marvelous, young in the age of my son, and he was very bright, good Muslim. And really, I asked him, I attracted him, and we spoke together. And I found that he told me I am Ahmadi. Now, I never heard about Ahmadi before.
Yes.
And the point is that I asked him to give me some of the books. I read all the books. Of course, you know that for a person who never confronted with such a thing before, he has to ask many questions.
Yes, yes.
Now, one question I have is, why Ahmadi not a Muslim?
Who told you we are not a Muslim? We are not Muslim.
Your Honor, I repeat my question again. I didn't say why not Muslim, but Ahmadi. I said why Ahmadi, not Muslim.
That is what I'm saying. We think and we believe.
I know, but I believe you are Muslim.
Ahmadis are Muslims.
I believe
that too.
Right.
So why he did not say to me that he is a Muslim rather than saying Ahmadi?
Yes, I tell you why. Because if you look at this microphone from your angle, it would appear to you of a certain shape. If you look at it from my angle, it will appear to you from a different shape, in a different shape. So with the changes of angles, the visions change. As far as Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, during his time, there is one single Islam. From which angle, whichever angle you looked at it, it was just one unsplittable Islam. But with the passage of time, when views began to change, so many images of Islam began to grow. Some saw Islam from the Shia vantage point. Some saw Islam from Sunni vantage point. Some from Maliki vantage point. Some from Hanafi vantage point. Some from Ahmad bin Hanbal, from some Shafi vantage point, so on and so forth. So, the Islam remained the same, but the images began to differ. Now, instead of telling anybody that this man belongs to Shafi school of thought, if you start describing all the differences between the Shafis and the Hanafites and the Shiites and so on, how long will it take to explain? To introduce a single person. On the other hand, if there is one belonging to Hanafi group, you know what Hanafis are. So it is just enough for you to learn that somebody is a Hanafi. It makes the matter so much easier. But if all are called just Muslims, and while they differ with each other, so to describe these differences, it will take a laborious, lengthy introduction to tell you where he belongs. Now, I understand your sentiments, but I think there is one confusion which must be removed here. Sectarianism is bad. There is no doubt about it. But sectarianism is never born out of titles. Titles are born out of sectarianism. So by removing titles, you can't do anything. You can't improve anything. You'll only create confusion. You see, the titles did not give birth to Hanafiism. The title did not give birth to Shiaism. The title did not give birth to Ahmadi school of thought. The school of thought came to be born. Then came the title. So you want to remove the symptom and not the root cause? The root cause of difference is difference itself.
Your Honor, I can see, you know, I'm a man of science. I'm not a man of philosophy, though my doctorate is philosophy of science. But I'm a statistician myself. I feel that such great forces like the Ahmadi or the what they call Shi'i with whatever, or Sunni, if they come together to discuss whatever they think, Don't you think that it will be much easier in the sense where Salahuddin he did in Egypt? Don't you remember that Egypt was a 100% Fatimi Shi'i, and then Salahuddin with his brilliant...
Forget the history. I agree with you that the best course of coming to a better understanding and to try to achieve unity is through dialogue. And the dialogue must be promoted. This is what we stand for. But when the others begin to see that our arguments begin to penetrate and make inroads into their followers, then they react very violently. And they don't stop short of argument only. That is a process which nobody on earth can change. This will happen again and again. Why do you think people try to obstruct the passage of Islam through force? When Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah raised the voice, he was just one person. Why was the society threatened? What was he doing to them? Why the sword was raised against him? The only reason was that they knew the message was potent, it was powerful, if permitted to spread, it will go on conquering, and nobody will be able to stop it. So it was acceptance of defeat in logic, which resulted into recourse to sword and despotic methods. The same happens here. Why don't you become realists, please? Just being, you say you're not a philosopher, but you are being a philosopher, unfortunately. Instead of being a realistic, pragmatic person, why don't you see that the present-day Muslim leadership in every sect is so non-tolerant, so narrow-minded, and so far off the truth that in the name of God, they teach people to kill their own fellow brothers and other human beings. Well, if this is the attitude...
I agree with you.
If that is the attitude, however can you imagine that a dialogue can take place? You see, the Muslim leadership in almost every sect, they think they possess human beings. They think they are masters of human beings. They think they are gods who are proprietors of everything. So if any person leaves their leadership and changes side to another person, any other body's leadership, then they become furious. They cannot tolerate it. That is what I have been trying to tell a gathering two nights ago. I said, when religious leadership begins to play God, nothing can be done. The things are gone, the point of return. Because, you see what is happening today, not only in Islam, everywhere in the world. Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, whatever you call them. If their followers leave God, and deviate from God, they do not care. When they tell lies, they leave God. When they accept bribe, they leave God. When they commit crimes of all sorts, they leave God. Is that not right? No religious leader is ever bothered about this. The whole world belonging to different religions is becoming more and more corrupt with the passage of time, and they don't care. But if a Christian becomes a Muslim, if a Muslim becomes a Christian, then they care. Then they begin to worry. Because they treat them as their own territory. So this is not a right climate for dialogue. Those who go into dialogue, they suffer. And we suffer. We know that from practice, from our experience. And we don't care. So we will continue to use the instrument of dialogue to convince others, but I assure you, the response from them would not be the same.
Well, of course.
Please, just a minute.
Sure.
Let's stop this duel, please. This two-sided, too much, because there are so many other people, sure. And some non-MD guests are also there. Well, they would also like to say a word or so. With due respect, I would like to converse with you for a longer period. But this is a session where some others are also present.
I have to thank you very much for
thank
the time.
Thank you very much for coming.
And it's my pleasure, and I hope to see you
and
again.
And would you come forward before you stop and shake hands with me?
Definitely, my pleasure.
So that we part friends, not...
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Barakallahu alaikum.